Welcome, welcome, welcome. Wow, the milestone 200th episode of this show. Praise God. And peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there to not only four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact not only with other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. I do hope you all had a nice Thanksgiving, but more so now, please allow me a sincere thank you to anyone and everyone out there that has listened to this show once, twice, 10 times, 100 times, or who knows, maybe even to all 200 now. From my heart, I'm truly, truly grateful. This show debuted in February 2019, and now here we are 200 episodes in, having gotten listeners from 86 countries around the world, and Catholic Sports Radio is in the top 5% most popular shows out of more than 2.9 million podcasts globally. I so appreciate still being able to serve all of you through this ministry in late November 2022. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. As much as the tendency is to focus on the bad deed, I'm thinking here, for example, of a Major League Baseball player who gets suspended for, say, 80 games. Do we ever stop to think instead not only of the lesson learned, but of the emotion, the overwhelming joy in coming back from all of that, the rebirth that that player must feel? Put aside for a moment that, yes, of course, you hope there's remorse and a changing of ways. Imagine the gratitude that this athlete realizes in coming back to his sport, being given a second chance, you might say. Don't hesitate to afford him that. After all, think of what's available to us in our faith life that way. In the Old Testament, Psalms chapter 32 says in verses 1 and 2, "Blessed is the one whose fault is removed, whose sin is forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, in whose spirit is no deceit." Amen. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was a pro heavyweight boxer from 1977 to 1990, following an amateur career in which he posted an amazing one-loss record of 55-3. As a pro, he was 28-3, with 24 of those victories coming by knockout. He rose to number one ranking by the WBC, and in Madison Square Garden in 1981, defeated former world heavyweight champion Ken Norton by a knockout just 54 seconds into the first round. According to the legendary George Foreman, my guest was one of the three hardest punchers he had faced in his career, which is proven by him being ranked on The Ring's list of 100 greatest punchers of all time. He founded FIST, the Fighters Initiative for Support and Training, an organization which helps retired boxers find jobs. He is an inductee of multiple halls of fame and has a show on Sirius XM Radio. Welcome to the milestone 200th episode of Catholic Sports Radio, Jerry Cooney.
Hey, it's great to be on your show. Thank you for those kind words. And, you know, I was thinking about that baseball player you talked about. You hope he got the help he needed and not just took those 80 games off and went back to baseball, but to realize the mistakes he's made and maybe get closer to God and to surrender and to maybe have those visions. Or, you know, I find in myself, if I listen to what God tells me, I go down the right path. But so often we choose to do it our way.
Yeah.
And we pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about the story about the guy was in the boat with God. The guy was rowing and God was steering. He got tired, the guy. He said, "God, can I steer?" And God said, "Yes, you can, my son, but I don't row." So we got to do the work. So I'm really grateful to be on you today. And I loved your conversation so far. And gobble, gobble, gobble. How's that one?
Well, what a thrill this is for me. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jerry. Start us off by going all the way back to the beginning, though. Where were you born, and what was the family size, and where were you in terms of, say, oldest child, youngest child, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, you know, I was grew up in a large Irish Catholic family. Four of us boys, two girls, and I was born in Manhattan, and we moved out to Huntington, Long Island, when it was mostly old farmland, and we grew up there in a small house. I remember living, all the four boys lived upstairs in an unfinished room with two bunk beds. And back in those days, my father was a construction worker, and unfortunately, he drank a lot, and there was a lot of pain involved in that family system. It took a lot of years to unravel. Some of us never unraveled it.
Well, I'm focusing on the part that you said, Irish Catholic family. Talk about the Catholic part of that. How present was the Catholic faith in your household as a kid, and how active were you in your faith as a young boy?
Well, you know, I was confirmed and all that. I went to Mass every Sunday. My mom was really, from growing up in the turmoil in that house, she needed God, and she went to church, walked every day, 7 days a week, 2 or 3 miles to Mass, and as she got a little bit older, people recognized her and picked her up and brought her home. But so I kind of followed along her steps. I was confused at what was going on in our household. You know, I had five brothers and sisters, and we all hid in different places of the house, out of sight, out of mind. And so that's really what the story was for that. And I'm so glad for my mom.
Wow. Wow. Well, I do want you to tell us how and when you got into boxing, although I'm curious as to if you competed in any other sports as a young boy.
You know, I grew up as a wrestler. I grew up as a football player. And my oldest brother had left the home when he was 15, and he followed himself 3 years later to a gym, and I loved him so much, I used to go and watch him. And I had a heavy bag in the basement. And when we were kids, we used to box in the backyard, and so I went to the gym and I saw this guy, and I asked if I could box. I wanted to box somebody. I wanted to hang around with my brother. And this little guy, Mikey DeDore, slapped me around that day, and I threw the gloves off. I was 15 and a half. And I threw the gloves off and went home, so forget I ain't doing this. But I went back down in the basement a couple of days later, and I hit the bag, understanding that the guy was going to come at me, and I had to breathe. And then I went back to the gym, and they asked if I could box that kid again, and he couldn't do that to me. And 6 months later, I went into the New York State Golden Glove Championships at Madison Square Garden, and I won the middleweight title. I had 7 fights, 5 knockouts. My brother, who was also a great fighter, he was a heavyweight at that time, went in and lost in the finals. I stuck with it, and he moved on with his life. But I was 6'4", 160 pounds. You had to wet me down to see me, but boy, I could punch. And I was praying to God every day.
When you fought as an amateur, you won international tournaments overseas, England, Wales, Scotland. I'm thinking that had to be the time you started thinking, okay, I think I have a shot at really becoming a professional boxer and making a living with this sport. Am I right?
You know, that's a great question, but back in those days, I was on the United States, went over to Europe. I had 4 fights over there, 4 knockouts. I came home. The Olympic Committee called me and said that the Russians, the whole set of Russian team, all heavyweights, was coming to New York. Did I want to fight on the card? I said, sure. So I had the third-ranked Russian heavyweight champion. And, you know, I had started drinking a little bit. My father was a drinker. You know, it's amazing how hereditary this is, and how we attract alcoholics. And we as much as I swore I was never going to do it, I started drinking at a very early age. So they called me and told me the fight was on. Did I want to fight? I said, sure. So I ran for 6 days. I ate good, and I went into the garden, and I fought this big heavyweight. They had like about 400 fights. And when the bell rang, I always like to touch him with some of my power to let him know how powerful I was. And I hit him with a left hook and knocked the guy out. And thank God I did, because I wasn't in the greatest of shape. And I had it going to the second round, he probably would have beaten me up. But I knocked him out 1 round. I get invited to the finals of the Olympic trials. Here's where dysfunction and alcoholism takes over in your life. I have very low self-esteem. I'm not good enough. And they called me to, I made the Olympic team. That's where the top eight guys goes to Colorado Springs and fights it out. And I told him I couldn't make it three times. He said, Jerry, this is the finals of the Olympic trials. And I told him my father was sick. I had to stay with my family. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah. He hung up the phone. That was 10% true. I didn't really get along with my father.
Mm.
The truth was, I'm not good enough. Why am I going to go look silly in front of all those people? And I missed out on the biggest opportunity in my life, one I regretted my whole life.
Wow. Wow. Well, now let's put it all together. Did you stay active with your faith during your boxing career? And even more so, did you or maybe your mother ever get conflicted thinking, boxing, maybe not a real outward sign of being a devout Catholic, if you understand the spirit with which I'm asking this?
I do understand that. No, I think that it's a sport. It's not a fight. You fight in a bar, or you fight in the street or something, but this is the art of self-defense. And it was, people are gifted with different things. Like, some people are gifted to be in the priesthood. Some people are lawyers. Some people are great at whatever they do. For me, at an early age, boxing was simple. Like, I could feel it. I could create the openings. I could make the guy miss. I could stop the guy. And so it was a gift that was given to me, and by God, I believe. And, you know, this old story about the guy was walking down the beach, and it was 2 foot of footprints in the sand. And he said, God, during my most troubling times, you left me. There was only one set of footprints. He said, my son, that was when I was carrying you. And I learned that in life, that God loves me. God wants me to have everything. God wants me to be at peace and love and have a great family and a great life. But I have to do the work. And I was stubborn, and growing up in that alcoholic household, made me not really surrender.
Mm.
And in time, we do that. And I was been very fortunate. I had a great boxing career. I knocked out Kenny Norton in 54 seconds in the first round. I fought for the heavyweight championship of the world. Unfortunately, a big mistake I made at that pressure. I heard a lot of, you're no good. You're never going to amount to anything. Don't trust nobody. Don't tell nobody business. From my father, because he learned how to survive. He didn't learn how to live life.
So
that was in my head. And what I did was I started to pick up drinking after the Norton fight. Rather than, well, I better get a good trainer. I better get a condition coach. I better get in great shape. I got scared. And I started to drink. And I thought to myself, if I lose, it wasn't me. It was the booze. And unfortunately, you learn the lesson that, yeah, it was the booze. And yes, it was dysfunctional how I grew up, and I didn't get the good upbringing that I needed to support what I was trying to do. But I did make it out, and lost to Larry Holmes. I got stopped in the 13th round that night. It was a great fight. We made history with the biggest grossing fight in the history of boxing to date.
Wow.
In 1982.
Wow. Well, folks, as you're hearing now, this is the curveball, right? Back in the intro, I read off quite a lot about Jerry, a lot of highlights, deservedly so, from all that he accomplished as a professional boxer. But this is where I stand on one of the pillars of my Catholic Sports Radio ministry and remind us all, myself included, that just because someone is a pro athlete does not mean that they've got it made. What I did not read off in the intro is the title of a book that Jerry co-authored 3 years ago, which is Gentleman Jerry, A Contender in the Ring, A Champion in Recovery. Before I have Jerry share his story, that journey, with us, please allow me another thanks for everyone who has listened to me along my journey to 200 episodes of this show. That darn you know what virus that shut the country down 2 years ago tried to shut me down. And then a few weeks ago, you heard me reveal on the show that I had a 4-hour procedure recently in this long battle that I have had for years and years with heart-related issues. But praise God, here we are at episode 200. And all this time, I still do not get any income for doing this show. And darn it, I still don't have any sponsors. So I'm also still fighting the battle of trying to manage out of my own pocket to take on all the expenses that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio, many of which I've detailed over numerous episodes of this show. So if you want to use the occasion of this milestone 200th episode to make a gift to my ministry, maybe it's something you've thought about before but just have not been moved to do yet, know my sincere appreciation for whatever you can do. You heard last week on the show that I was thanking Javier Aguirre, the guest from 2 weeks ago, who did what I'm about to suggest for you, which is on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a blue Donate to CSR button, which is fast and easy. And I like that it lets you type in whatever amount you're comfortable with giving. There's no drop-down menu of preset amounts to choose from. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can write to me at bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending me a check through the mail. Either way, your support means so much to me, not only in helping me out with the expenses that I face, but giving me encouragement that you are enjoying Catholic Sports Radio and feel that I'm delivering value to you each week, and most importantly, hopefully, that it's helping you in your faith life. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate your check or whatever you send through the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net as a way of tithing and helping me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Jerry, to use a boxing analogy, before all that, I think I probably knocked some people down to the canvas with that title of your book. Talk to us about taking on that opponent that was alcohol addiction, and of course, since this is Catholic Sports Radio, where your Catholic faith was or was not during all of that.
Well, thank you so much for that heading into this. And I want to just first tell all your listeners that I have a great life today. I did make some mistakes. I fell down. I had to get up, dust off my pants, and move forward. That's the most important thing, is that we got to keep getting the information and move forward. And thankfully, I always had God in my life, and I always believed in God. And I sometimes, you know, we see, I do tons of charity work, or have throughout my life, and sometimes you can wonder, well, you know, like I went to a kid's birthday. He was 48. He has never walked in his life. He's in a wheelchair, and he's a big boxing fan. Mm-hmm. And I got to spend a great amount of time with him and give him a Larry Holmes, Jerry Cooney glove, and, you know, give him a little bit of, shake him up a little bit and make him laugh. Why do those things happen? And we don't know. I mean, I just had a health crisis as well. I had an early stage prostate cancer early on. I got 5 radiation treatments that ended 3 weeks ago. I feel great. I'm back to normal. I'm on the radio twice a week, Sirius XM channel 156 from 12 to 2 every Monday, every Friday with Randy Gordon at the fights. And listen, we all have to travel that road, and sometimes we fall off the path. Sometimes we get stopped. We get dropped down to the ground. And for me, I was in a lot of pain from not just my upbringing, but my career. I had a great career, but I failed in the biggest fight. Now, little did I know, but later on in life, I found that I self-sabotaged myself. Had I trained harder, had I taken better care of myself, I could have had a great shot at beating Larry Holmes. Unfortunately, and also in the fight game, Don King, in those games, he owned all the heavyweights. And because I refused to sign with him, he kept me out. Mm. So I wasn't getting the good fighters I needed to develop my ability, so that when I got into the ring, like, I'll explain this to you. Like, so I go to I have a training camp, and I go to the gym, and there's 4 or 5 sparring partners there every day for me. And while I'm in the ring with one of them, the other 4 are watching where my mistakes are so they can get to me. Mm. And I have to stay ahead of those guys. And that's the gift about boxing, that when you're in that world-class split-second timing, you can continue to grow. And for me, because I was a big puncher, I could slow you down with body shots. I was a big body shot puncher. I loved that. And you could see the expression in your opponent's face change. But, you know, during that time, you know, I felt successful. I felt I was becoming more fearful of who I was becoming, because I grew up in a lot of negativity. And so I started to drink. And drinking helped soothe that big hole. See, I grew up without, with loss, with neglect. And I had a big hole in my chest. And when I first had that drink of alcohol, it filled that hole up. And I thought to myself, wow, where has this been all my life? And unfortunately, I didn't have somebody in my corner to grab me by the arm and say, come on, Cooney, let's pay attention now. It's very important. It's serious. Let's stay focused. And I pray that I can do that for somebody. I get a chance to go to an orphanage and work with at-risk kids and teach them boxing and build their self-esteem and their confidence. Not that they're going to become fighters, but they can, you know, understand there's a struggle in life, and we have to get the information. You can become a, you know, a doctor. You can become a mechanic. You can deliver. You know, there's a lot of different options for us. You can become an athlete, and you have the determination to get the best people to help you be the best you can be, and then that's all you can do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Fortunately, I had a lot of rage, and boxing helped, you know, calm that down. I remember when I was 16, after my career was over, I realized that boxing helped me to express my anger. And then I seemed like in the Golden Gloves at 16, my picture was on the back page of the Daily News, seemed like every week after I fought. And then that made me somebody. And that's how I became a fighter. And then obviously my friends were going to college, and I didn't really, you know, I was like, I don't know, I probably had ADD back then, but they didn't really recognize that. And I wasn't going to go to college. So boxing was the next best thing for me.
Yeah, I see that.
And then I had to get on the road and fight. And that and, you know, travel and meeting new people and being a little insecure. And I could have a couple of drinks and that would go away. And, you know, I have been trust. I didn't have a trust. You know, I had a priest when I was early on. And there was an article about me in the paper with a girlfriend. And he kind of shamed me about it. I was like, I was so, he didn't know anything about me. He was an old priest. And I understood his point. He was telling me, don't do this for all the young kids out there. But I was in such pain. I needed to be held. I needed to be attended to. And so it was a big story about me and the girl. And he was like, you know, put me down. And I kind of got away from the church for a while. But I never forgot about God, because God is my God, not necessarily human beings. I believe in the Bible. I read the Bible all the time. I have good friends that read the Bible with me, and I go to Mass 3 or 4 days a week.
Wow.
And I ask for help all the time, and I try and be helpful all the time.
Well, I love that as much as you went through that struggle, you didn't forget your Heavenly Father, and you did continue to believe in Him and turn to Him.
I love God.
Folks, 3 months ago, specifically back on episode 188, 12 weeks ago, my guest was George Rose, who is the executive advisor of Pacific Rim Operations with the New York Yankees. He is also a board member of Catholic Men for Jesus Christ, and he revealed during my interview with him that in February, one of the speakers at their event will be none other than Jerry Cooney. Jerry, how great to see you out speaking at an event like that, Catholic Men for Jesus Christ.
I love God, and I have a beautiful family. I love my 3 children, my beautiful wife. Even through all this pandemic and these problems and crises and the world blowing up, you know, we have to stay connected to God. And we have to love God's word, and we have to listen. We have to pray and meditate. Those are the gifts that we have. And when I do that and I quiet down and I pay attention, you know, I know which way to go. Do I always take it? Maybe sometimes I don't, but I try to more and more take the path that's given to me.
Well, and unfortunately, he gave you that cross to bear, your battle with alcohol, so that other people can benefit from you going to events like Catholic Men for Jesus Christ and speaking to people that might need to hear your story, that are going to get inspired by hearing it on the show and are going to get inspired by hearing you speak at events like that. And speaking of doing good deeds, I mentioned in the intro that you founded FIST, the Fighters Initiative for Support and Training, an organization which helps retired boxers find jobs. But then also, you're a supporter of the Hands Are Not for Hitting program, which tries to prevent domestic violence.
Now listen, so me being an athlete, and all the athletes are football players, baseball players, soccer players, you know, wrestlers, boxers, we are very charitable people. It's our right to be helpful to the less fortunate. So we get a chance all summer to go to golf outings, to boxing matches, charitable foundations to help people who are less fortunate, who need help, need to put some attention on what's going on with them in their lives. And so, yes, it's a gift that we have to be able to do that. I think it's a great opportunity for us to share the love, to be available for that person in need, to tell, be there, to help the person. I always like to say that when I leave people, I feel like they feel a little less, you know, they feel happier with them, with their lives and what's going on for them. And that, you know, I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I like to kid around, and, you know, I tell people, you know, like, people pay me for that, and then they ask me to come back. I give everybody a hard time. So we got to pass that love around, and we got to help people to feel at safe and at peace and to understand. And I've been blessed, along with thousands of other athletes around the world and other people in my Catholic life, and to help people get by better.
Well said. Well said. And you mentioned this before, but I do want to give you a chance just to tell the audience a little bit more about your SiriusXM radio show and what that is.
Yeah, I have. I love SiriusXM radio, and I love everybody there. It's been so friendly since till the pandemic. Everybody's been locked out. We've been doing the shows from home, but we go to the fights, and years ago, when Sirius first came out, I called and got a lifetime membership for $500. And then who was to think that I was going to go up to do an interview and meet the president and him say to me, "Hey, Jerry, how would you like to do a show with Randy Gordon?"
Wow.
And I said, "Well, let me think about it." "Okay, I'll do it." And that was like 13 years ago. We've been doing, having a great time with boxing and having celebrities on, and all different types of people from around the walks of life to talk about their lives. And similar to you, I love passing the good word.
Wonderful, wonderful. You mentioned before, I want to revisit this for sure, but please, by all means, share with the audience about your immediate family, your how long you've been married for, your children, and then I'm going to give you one more follow-up question, but that's important, so let's get that first.
Okay, so what I want to tell you is I'm still on my honeymoon. I've been married about 30 years.
Wow.
About 30 years to a great woman. And, you know, I realized after all these years of late, I've been thinking, this woman is everything I prayed for. She's everything I ever wanted. And that's through work and understanding and reading the Bible and reading self-help books and, you know, talking to people and defining what it was I liked. I remember staying alone for a year, not dating or not doing any of that, and traveling to Africa, to Central America. You know, I traveled in Europe. I did a lot of things. I played tennis. I played golf. To find out who Jerry Cooney was, because I was so wrapped up in boxing, I missed out on all the music. I missed out on so much stuff during the boxing career, because you're always on the road somewhere. And in that time, a friend of mine got a job at this accounting firm, BDO Seaman at the time, and he put me on the phone with this girl. And her name was Jennifer, and we sat and talked for, had a nice time. And I said, you know, I'm in Florida for the winter. When I come back, let's have lunch. So about 3 months later, I come back. I go to lunch with this girl, Jennifer, my friend, Charlie. And we wind up walking down the street holding hands. And that was 30 years ago. We have two beautiful children. Sarah is 21. She's done the last year at Rutgers University. My son Jackson is 24. He graduated from Lehigh University. He's an engineer. Got a great life, handsome kid. They both can fight. They're both punchers. Now, they never had a fight, but I got, as their father, got a chance to work with them in my gym and teach them the art of self-defense. How great is that? And then I have an older son that's 34, and he is a finance guy. He's got a great life. He's married to a beautiful girl from Venezuela. Her name is Barbara, and I'm living the dream. And that dream has been given to me from God, you know, Almighty.
Yeah, amen,
and,
amen.
Do I make mistakes? I do sometimes. I mess up, but I pick myself up and ask for forgiveness and move on.
And that's a lesson that we all should learn in a show. I know a lot of us follow that same path and pick ourselves up and try again, and it's only through the grace of God. Jerry, there's a question that I a lot of times close with. I will ask a guest on my show what parish they belong to, but you know, it made me wonder how it was as a professional athlete to be going to church on Sundays where the focus has to be on the Mass, yet I've got to believe there was a lot of temptation for people to turn around and point and excitedly whisper, Jerry Cooney, which of course is not what the priests or a lot of the others in the congregation want.
No, you know, I like to go into church, sit down, close my eyes, think about God. I don't like to chase everything out. And, you know, listen, I've been out of the game for many years, 40, 35 years. So, I mean, that's waned. There was a day when, you know, I was very recognizable. But I love my life. I get to go and play Jerry Cooney at charities and events and appearances and go to fights and play Jerry Cooney. And I rub myself in it and I roll around in it and it feels so great. I remember there was a time when I was 1981, I was on tour for the Holmes Cooney fight, and I stopped in Boston to Boston Gardens, and that's a very big Irish community. And I wasn't 10 feet inside that arena when the whole stadium stood up and cheered me for 10 minutes.
Mm.
Now that was pretty awesome feeling, right?
Yeah.
And when I left that stadium, I was 10 feet outside. You know what I felt to myself from my dysfunctional upbringing? They don't mean it. They didn't mean it.
Mm.
But today I know they meant it. And today, I love my life, and I want people to feel less burden, less trouble from my acquaintance.
Just beautiful. Just beautiful. Jerry, so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much. God bless you and your family. I really enjoyed it, and thank you for coming on Catholic Sports Radio.
Are you kidding? We got to go a few rounds, bro. We got to get it on, bro. You got to start running right now because I got 6 rounds for you. All right. Love you. Love you. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Call me anytime.
And folks, let's close with a prayer on this episode and with a nod to Jerry, having been an athlete for so many years. Let's close with a player prayer and do it, of course, together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, let me play well but fairly. Let competition make me strong but never hostile. Forbid me to rejoice in the adversity of others. See me not when I am cheered, but when I bend to help my opponent up. If I know victory, allow me to be happy. If I am denied, keep me from envy. Remind me that sports are just games. Help me to learn something that matters once the game is over. And if through athletics I set an example, let it be a good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to the Milestone 200th episode. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H. At Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.